Good evening. You can find in your Bibles 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. It's been a blessing for several weeks to be able to preach down in Kenosha at Southport Baptist Church. Some of you might be wondering where Holly and I have been on Sunday mornings. The Lord opened up an opportunity back in the summertime to preach down there, and that turned into some more opportunities as they were finding a pastor and as he was transitioning to come there. So I think this Sunday was the last Sunday that I was going to be preaching there, and we were going to be ministering there. So it's just neat to see how the Lord opens up opportunities. They didn't have a pianist either, so Holly was able to play the piano for congregational singing and for specials, and it was just a great opportunity to minister to the people there, and I think the Lord really used it. Sometimes when a church is going through a transition of finding a new pastor, it can kind of unravel and fall apart, but I think the Lord helped to keep the people together and keep them like-minded, and just praying that the Lord uses that. Obviously, Kenosha's been in the news a lot lately, so I was trying to challenge them that God has this church here to be a lighthouse in Kenosha, and people need to see the difference that Christ makes, and I think the Lord can use that. So 1 Kings chapter 12 tonight, we're going to be looking at Rehoboam and how the kingdom of Israel was divided. 1 Kings chapter 12, I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and you can follow along with me as I read. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father, while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who hath spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. Verse 10. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than thy father's loins. And now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. I want to look tonight at an unteachable spirit. An unteachable spirit that King Rehoboam had in refusing to listen to wise counsel. You know, there's something refreshing about a person with a teachable spirit. Whether you're a boss, whether you're a parent, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a teacher, it doesn't matter their age or their IQ. Somebody with a teachable spirit is a pleasure to be around. Conversely, an unteachable, arrogant, stubborn person is in many ways detestable. You don't want to go to them for advice. You don't want to correct them because they're probably going to get outraged, and you never know how they're going to respond. I remember when I was out in Mineral Point, some of you know Mr. Hickox. He's an older gentleman that started coming while I was ministering out there, and he had been in the ministry for many years. At the time he started coming, I think he was 88 years old. And his wife had recently passed away. He had almost been married for 70 years. And started coming and was coming to Sunday school, and I was doing a series on what the Bible says about several different topics, and one of them was about church membership. And at the time, he was just attending, hadn't joined, and I was teaching, and I wasn't really directing it at any person, but he came up to me a week or two later, and he said, you know, in your teaching, I feel like the Lord wants me to join the church here and help be a part of it. And I was thinking, you know, that is quite remarkable that a 90-year-old man would come to a 25-year-old young buck and say, the Lord worked in my heart through your preaching and wants me to make this decision. And that's just kind of the way he is. He's a very humble, teachable man. And I thought, wow, that's a mark of a teachable spirit, somebody that it doesn't matter who's telling them, God says this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. That's a teachable spirit. If you turn with me quickly to Proverbs chapter 9, of course, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about a teachable spirit, about receiving instruction, about a wise person who learns. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, of course, Solomon, Rehoboam's father, wrote most of the book of Proverbs. And I wonder if his son was the impetus for a lot of the writings that he put down in the book of Proverbs, because over and over, Solomon says, my son, listen to my counsel. My son, take what your father and your mother have said and bind them about your neck, etc. Proverbs 9, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. If we could summarize that verse, it's a teachable spirit. Somebody with a teachable spirit, you tell them what they need to do, and they do it. You correct them, and they listen. The idea of instruction in the book of Proverbs has the idea of correction, not just receiving information. It's correction. It's guidance. And somebody who is not willing to be guided doesn't have a very bright future because they think they know what is best. Well, Rehoboam is an opposite example of Proverbs 9:9. He was an unteachable person. And needless to say, he didn't necessarily, I mean, Solomon was used of God, but he obviously had a lot of issues. And maybe that's the result of Rehoboam's response was a result of Solomon's parenting. I don't know. I'm sure it had something to do with it. But what kind of spirit do you have? Do people dread giving you instructions? Do people fear correcting you? Are you approachable? Do you have a teachable or an unteachable spirit? We're going to look at this particular passage in 1 Kings 12 and ask ourselves, what kind of spirit do you have? We're going to see three different types of results that an unteachable spirit produces. First of all, an unteachable spirit produces an unreasonable person. An unteachable spirit produces an unreasonable person. Why is that? Because it stems from pride. Somebody who can't learn something is proud. And we all know what pride is. I mean, think about what Rehoboam did here. Solomon had died, and obviously he was the natural successor to the throne. He was the son of Solomon, and so he was going to be made king. But in receiving counsel, he went first to the wise old men that were with his father Solomon, and then he went to the young men that had grown up with him. But one person who is noticeably absent is God. He never sought counsel of God, at least not that we know of. David, his grandfather, sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. He had problems and faults, but David sought the Lord. Rehoboam, there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel. You know, the book of Proverbs says, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. But it seems like Rehoboam had some pride because he sought counsel, and not only did he reject the wise counsel, but he didn't even seek after God. I wonder how much advice we get from an earthly perspective and earthly wisdom, but how much do we get from God? How much wisdom do we receive from God? So an unteachable spirit produces an unreasonable person because it stems from pride. Also, Rehoboam sought earthly counsel, but he refused to follow it. Look at verses 6 through 8. I'll kind of summarize them. So Rehoboam consulted with the old men, and they said, here's what you should do. Be a servant to them, verse 7. If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Now that sounds like pretty good advice, doesn't it? I mean, there's nothing profound about that. It's just pretty reasonable for a king to serve the people that he is responsible for. But Rehoboam was too proud. And because of that, it made him choose the unreasonable response. Somebody who has an unteachable spirit is unreasonable. You can't reason with them. They always know best. They always have to have it done their way. No matter how you correct them, no matter how many times you tell them and teach them, they still go their own way. That's an unteachable spirit, and it leads to an unreasonable attitude. Proverbs 8, verse 33, flipping back to the book of Proverbs. There's so many verses in the book of Proverbs that we could read, but Proverbs 8, 33 says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Don't just listen to it. Hear it. Apply it to your life. Obey it and do it. Rehoboam heard the counsel of the old men, but he didn't follow it. He didn't listen to it. That was the reasonable choice, but he followed the unreasonable choice. What they told him in verse 8, he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. Rehoboam thought he knew better. Obviously, there's not a whole lot of details in everything that was going on in Rehoboam's brain as he made this decision, but it's clear that he was rejecting, he made a conscious decision to reject the counsel of these wise men and accept the counsel of the young men that had grown up with him. Now, it's not always true that just because somebody is old that they know best, but I think there's a principle here that Rehoboam neglected. There's wisdom. You know, the Bible talks about the gray hair being a sign of wisdom, right, Pastor? The Mrs. Bird would probably concur with that. The gray hair is, you know, in biblical terms, a sign of wisdom, of experience. And it's not to say that they're always perfect, but I think there's a principle of respect and listening to the counsel. You know, God gives us parents. They've gone through experiences that we will experience as young people. And some of us young people are brazen enough to reject the counsel and advice of our parents and say, you have no idea what it's like. Well, you know, they were teenagers once. They were young, single adults once, you know. They have experience. But to think that we always know better is not a good pattern for us to follow. How can that happen? Well, sometimes people give excuses. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter how wrong and obviously wrong somebody is, you give an excuse. Well, it was because of this, it was because of that. We're all guilty of that. We always want to defend ourselves first and foremost. Instead of just humbly saying, yeah, I was wrong, I need to learn from that, I need to have a teachable spirit. Sometimes we justify the wrong that we did with somebody else's wrong. Maybe Rehoboam felt that he was justified in rejecting the counsel of the old men because he had seen the failures of his father. I don't know. Again, I'm just surmising there, but Maybe that's what was going through Rehoboam's mind. Maybe he had an inward disdain for his father because of the 300 wives that he had and the other failures that he had in his life. Sometimes people resort to blame shifting. The Garden of Eden is the prime example. You know, Eve blamed Adam, Adam blamed Eve, and you know, it wasn't too long before they ran out of people to blame. And, you know, it was like, it's his fault, it's her fault, and now it's the serpent's fault. And that was pretty much it that they could blame, you know. So they didn't have a whole lot of options there. But blame shifting can be a very annoying thing sometimes, you know. Nobody wants to accept the blame. They all want to blame somebody else. It was my parents' fault. It was God's fault. It was my pastor's fault. It was my teacher's fault. It was my boss's or coworker's fault. You know, we can just find everybody in the world to blame. And there's a quote that says, people who are out to find fault seldom find anything else. If all you're looking for is to blame somebody else, you're going to find somebody to blame. But it's a person with a teachable spirit who will accept the wrong. Sometimes it's just arrogance. There was a customer who walked into a clothing shop and asked to see the pants that were advertised in the paper that day. The store owner said, "We don't have an ad in the paper today." But the customer insisted that the store owner was wrong. So he got a copy of the paper and they both went through it and eventually found an ad for pants from another local store. Exasperated, the customer glared at the store owner and said, "Well, in my newspaper, the ad was for this store." You know, it just shows how unreasonable sometimes we can be when we don't want to listen. When we don't want to admit we're wrong, we're just arrogant, we're just proud. I don't know what all Rehoboam's problems were, but it was for sure that he didn't have a very teachable spirit. So first of all, an unteachable spirit produces an unreasonable person. Secondly, an unteachable spirit produces consistently wrong choices. You can see them piling up for Rehoboam. And I already mentioned or alluded to it, how he seems to have had some sort of disdain for his father, Solomon. He rejected the counselors that were counselors to his father, and he rejected their very wise and reasonable offer to be a servant to the people. I mean, that's what a king ought to be. It was a reasonable thing for them to say, your father, maybe his taxes were heavy, and his burden was heavy, whatever that yoke that they're talking about, how he had a heavy burden upon the people. And they counseled him to make that lighter and your people will serve you. That's a good principle. You know, as a leader, you don't just ram your leadership down the throats of your people. You lead by example. You lead with your influence to do the right thing. And that's what the counselors were telling him. Don't make the people even more oppressed and more burdened to follow you. That's not typically how you're going to get somebody to follow you, by threatening them and forcing them. He said, be a servant to them. And Rehoboam rejected that counsel. So in a way, he disrespected his father, rejecting the counsel of the counselors that were with his father. Again, I'm going to jump back to the book of Proverbs because it has so many good things to say. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. You know, we have a lot of young people in the congregation tonight. And as I said earlier, you don't outgrow a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit is not just for teenagers. A teachable spirit is for every single one of us here. But Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." Verse 3. "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. This is Solomon, Rehoboam's father, learning from his father, King David. He said in verse 4, he taught me also. King David taught him and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. I don't think Rehoboam followed that too well. I don't think he retained the words of his father or his grandfather or the words of God. And that goes to say, a young person, you know, we talk about how children are to obey their parents and honor them because it is a preparation of their heart to receive the words of God. Not just because, well, I want my children to obey because it'll make my life easier. That is true, but that's not the ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose is to allow your children to have a heart that is prepared for hearing the voice of God. So having a teachable spirit in a child and an earthly relationship is important. If you know, I'm not a parent, but I was a child once. And, you know, when you're a child, you sometimes have to learn the hard way. And your parents are constantly teaching you, and sometimes you feel like you're going over and over and over the same issues with a child. But having that teachable spirit, even as a parent, can influence a child to have a teachable spirit. So an unteachable spirit produces consistently wrong choices. You know, a child that grows up to scoff and scorn at their parents, it's going to lead to other issues in their life. It doesn't matter who the child is. It doesn't matter who the parent is. If that issue isn't dealt with, then that's going to be the outcome, is consistently wrong choices. Conversely, a child that grows up with a teachable spirit is going to make mistakes. But those mistakes are going to help teach them what is right. And godly guidance and parenting is going to help teach them the right way. Secondly, so first of all, Rehoboam disrespected his father. Secondly, Rehoboam listened to the counsel of his friends. Verse 10, and the young men that were, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 10, and the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people. And they tell him, your father's yoke was heavy, but yours is going to be heavier. Now, it's not to say that our friends always tell us the wrong thing. But when we have an unteachable spirit, we're more inclined to listen to bad advice, aren't we? We're going to listen to people who are telling us the wrong thing because we're going to look to get revenge. We're going to look to get even with somebody. So when we have an unteachable spirit, we're opening up ourselves to bad advice, to wrong advice. And I think that's what Rehoboam did here. He rejected the counsel, and he went into it with, it seems like he went into this counseling session with his mind already made up. You know, sometimes we are guilty of that too. We think, I'm going to seek the Lord about this, and I'm going to seek wise counsel. And in our heart, we're saying, I already know what I want to do. I just want to make sure that whoever's counseling me confirms what I already want to do. And if they don't confirm, then I don't need to listen. Well, that's not a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit is willing to accept counsel that goes against what we've already decided is the right thing. And of course, we always have to align any counsel with the Word of God. We can't just take what somebody says and accept that as gospel truth. We need to take everything in light of the Word of God. But Rehoboam listened to the counsel of his friends. You know, it's so easy for us to try to pick favorites. It's easy for us to try to listen to the advice that we want to listen to. And especially as young people, you know, it clarifies that these were people that had grown up with Rehoboam. These were his friends. These were the people that he made his advisors, and he listened to them and rejected the counsel of the wise people. Going back to the first point about how it makes somebody unreasonable, the things that these people told him from a political standpoint is ridiculous. Like, what kind of people is going to want to follow a king who makes the burden even heavier to follow them than the previous king? I mean, if they thought that king was bad, and now they want to make it worse, then what kind of people are going to want to follow? It's no wonder why the Israelites didn't want to follow, and there was division. And that's actually the third point. An unteachable spirit produces division rather than unity. The outcome of Rehoboam listening to the counsel of his friends and rejecting the counsel of the wise men was that the people were disheartened and upset. And consequently, the nation of Israel was divided. That's where we get the division of the northern and the southern kingdom, the Israelites, or the tribes of Israel and the tribes of Judah. Now, God knew all that was going to happen, but that wasn't really his plan. His plan was not for the nation of Israel to be divided, but it was because of their resistance. It was because of their rebellion. It was because of the wickedness of Rehoboam's heart, the wickedness of Solomon, the precedents that he had set, and downward they went. But an unteachable spirit produces division rather than unity. Verse 16 of chapter 12 says, "So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse." So in other words, they're like, we're not going to be a part of this. We're going to do our own thing. If this is the way that you're going to treat us, then we're going to find somebody else to be our king. It produced division. In a church, an unteachable spirit produces division. In a home, an unteachable spirit between a husband and a wife, between the parents and the children, produces division. And any relationship, really, that we have between an employee and an employer, the employee says, I'm out of here. If the boss isn't going to listen, and the same thing with the boss. If he says, if my employee's not going to listen, he's out of here. It produces division. You never get unity from a divisive, unteachable spirit. Only by pride cometh contention. If there's contention in a relationship that you have, you can guarantee it's pride somewhere along the line. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God was not behind this split, even though he allowed it to happen, but that was not what he wanted for his people. He didn't want them to be divided. He wanted them to be unified. God wants a family to be unified. God wants this church to be unified. But what's going to take place for it to be unified? It takes place when people have a teachable spirit. They're willing to submit. They're not willing, or they're not naturally going to make excuses and be arrogant and shift the blame. They're going to be submissive and have a teachable spirit. That's how things are accomplished. That's how the work of God is accomplished. When people have a teachable spirit to say, I don't know, I know that person's not perfect, but I'm going to follow the Lord. Instead of making excuses and so on and so forth, it produces division rather than unity. And then verse 19, "So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day." All of this happened very quickly. Rehoboam gets set up as king. He rejects the counsel that would have been the wise and reasonable thing. And as a result, the people rebel. The nation of Israel is divided. And of course, we have a whole lot that ensues after that. But it came from an unteachable spirit that King Rehoboam had. When you think of Rehoboam, this is often the passage that comes to mind, right? Where he rejected the counsel, where he despised what the wise old counselors had told him. And because he was a man with an unteachable spirit. But how often do we portray these characteristics? How often do we accept responsibility for our wrongdoing? What kind of attitude do we have when somebody corrects us? That'll tell us a lot about who we are. Now, you might be here and not be saved. Well, if you have an unteachable spirit, and maybe God is working in your heart, showing you how wicked you really are, but you keep giving excuses, you keep justifying your sin, you keep shifting the blame. It's somebody else's fault. It's my mom and dad's fault for raising me this way. I'm going to get even with them by rejecting the gospel of God, or maybe just arrogance. The same holds true. An unteachable spirit will bring division. It'll take you into a Christless eternity separated from God. A teachable spirit brings you into a relationship personally with God. And there's unity, there's joy, and there's peace. I'm thankful for the long-suffering of God with us, that we can say, God is patient with us. We're stubborn. We're like sheep going astray. We want to do our own thing. But don't use God's long-suffering as an excuse to be unteachable. Oh, God will be long-suffering. He'll be merciful. I'll have another chance. We can count on God's long-suffering, but that's not an excuse for us to be stubborn. That's not an excuse for us to reject His plan of salvation. That's not an excuse for us to despise those that are trying to correct us and guide us and help us. So what kind of spirit do you have tonight? What if we asked your boss or your coworkers or your parents? What if we asked pastor? What if we asked you fill in the blank? You know, we all need this kind of guidance. We all need this kind of reality check. What kind of spirit do we have? Is our spirit causing division? Or do we have a teachable spirit that allows us to accept correction? Let me remind you as we close here of what Proverbs 9, verse 9 says. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. We all have opportunities to learn from our mistakes. But we can take those as opportunities to blame, excuse, justify, or we can use it as an opportunity for us to just ask God to help us to not make that mistake again. That's a teachable spirit. And if we have that kind of spirit as a church, imagine how that would transform, not just when we meet as a congregation, but how it would transform our workplaces, how it would transform our families, how it would transform our country. If God's people had a teachable spirit and said, God, whatever you want to show me, I will submit to. Not just in our relationship with God, also in our relationship with other people. It's a very difficult thing sometimes because we are all proud. We all do want to go our own way, but by the grace of God, He can teach us. He's long-suffering with us, and He can give us a teachable spirit, even if you're the type that says, well, this is just the way I am. I just have to have it my own way. God can change that heart, and He can give you a teachable spirit. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I ask that You would help each person here. Lord, for those who are saved, maybe there's an area in their life where they have been resistant to You, or maybe to an authority in their life. Lord, if there's somebody here who doesn't know You as Savior, would You give them that teachable spirit that says, Lord, I am a sinner. I do deserve Your punishment, and I am willing to submit to You as my Savior. Lord, I pray that You would help us to have a teachable spirit. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, maybe something in the message spoke to your heart and you realize there is something that I have in my heart that I've been resistant towards, that I've been giving excuses to. I don't know what it is. I don't know what relationship it is, but God does. But you would say just with your lifted hand, you know, there's something in my life where I realize I've been having an unteachable spirit. Is there anybody like that who would say there's something in my life that I have an unteachable spirit? Okay. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Lord, you see these hands, and I don't know what the situation is, but Lord, help each one of these people who have realized there's something in their life. Help them, Lord, to correct that. Help them to be guided to what is right. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.